This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Change is a key word for both candidates in this year's presidential campaign, but in the southern United States, where slavery, Jim Crow, civil rights, and Sherman's March to the Sea remain part of living history, change can be a hard sell. Newsweek magazine's Christopher Dickey recently drove from Tennessee through Georgia, North, and South Carolina to gauge the emotions that this change election has stirred up and ask whether the nomination of an African-American really might mark a turning point there. His story about his trip, titled Southern Discomfort, is on the cover of this week's Newsweek. Later in the hour, Slate's Tim Noah joins us to tell us what your sleepaway camp experience reveals about you. If, for example, you hated camp enough to make your parents bring you home, well, maybe you shouldn't be calling into a radio program. But first, Southern scars. If you live in the South, or if you used to, tell us what you think the election is, whether it's opening old wounds or healing them. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org, and you can share your story with us on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Christopher Dickey is the Paris Bureau Chief and Middle East Regional Editor for Newsweek magazine. He joins us today from the studios of member station WHYY in Philadelphia. And nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Always a pleasure, Neil.
And Chattanooga to the Carolinas, you followed the same route that General Sherman did.
Yeah, that was the rough outline. One of the reasons I did is because I have a relative, an ancient uncle, a great uncle, who was actually named after Sherman, even though he was born in Georgia and his parents were slave owners. So I thought that would be kind of an interesting approach to take, just as a suggestion of how complicated things have always been in the South.
And while you say, and I think with some justification, Sherman is certainly still a living figure in the minds of many people in the South, there's a generation there that grew up that doesn't remember the 1960s, much less the 1860s.
Well, sure. The younger, every generation is a little bit more distant from the experience, obviously, of the Civil War and of the Civil Rights Movement, for that matter. But it is amazing how that history does linger in the South. I know 100 years after the Civil War, when I was in school in Atlanta as an 8-year-old, a 9-year-old, kids were still teaching each other Civil War songs, which were all about hating Yankees and being glad 300,000 of them were killed. So that was, of course, some years ago. But even now, you still see the flags. You still feel the resonance of history. What's really different in the South is that you've got a new population coming in, not just in migration from the North, but you've got a lot of Asians, East Asians, South Asians coming in and starting entrepreneurial businesses. And you've got a lot of Mexican immigrants coming in and also Central American immigrants coming in, really by the millions, that are changing the look of the fields, the way people work, and the language in the South. All of that is completely divorced from Southern history. It's all new, and it will shape the South in the 21st century in ways that the South probably never imagined it would be shaped.
And while you're using the frame of the presidential campaign as to talk about these changes and others in the South, well, most people, and I think you too, don't believe that much of the South is actually in play politically, with the exception of Virginia.
That's right. I think that Obama's campaign is acting as if North Carolina and Georgia might be in play. But certainly talking to people, I did meet enthusiastic supporters of Obama, white and black, my general impression was that the Republican Party is still very strong in those states and throughout the rest of the South, and that people tend to blame Bush as an individual, say that he was a bad president, without necessarily blaming his party. I think they're still very attached to the conservative values of the Republican Party as they understand them.
Yet you said in 10 days of driving through the South, you didn't see one McCain bumper sticker.
No, and I didn't really see much evidence of McCain's organization at all. In a place like Crawford, Georgia, for instance, a rural county seat, Oglethorpe County in Georgia, there was a civic fair with cheerleaders and taekwondo demonstrations and political booths set up all down through the middle of town, and not one for McCain. Although there was an Obama booth, there were people signing up voters for, you know, registering voters. There was a lot of political activity going on, and there were Republican and Democratic contenders for the office of sheriff, which is the big local office, but no McCain.
Well, let's get some callers on the line. We're talking with Christopher Dickey of Newsweek magazine about his story that's on the cover of this week's issue of the magazine called Southern Discomfort. 800-989-8255 if you'd like to join us. Email us talk@npr.org. And Lamar's with us from Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Hey, good day to you, sir.
Good day.
Yes, first time caller, long, long time listener, so I just want to say thank you for the opportunity of letting me jump in. Well, my main comment is that I actually have a lot of family who still lives down in South. I mean, I'm not sure if Florida is considered South-South, but, you know, Florida has its own history in itself. And my mom, my uncles, they're all from the South. And even though they are, you know, pretty much enthused and enthralled by Barack Obama, they really don't want him to win, along with, you know, most of the family down in the South. They don't want him to win because, you know, he's a black guy running for a, quote-unquote, a white position. And a lot of them are afraid of Obama, you know, actually getting, you know, not to say, well, to say simply assassinated or lost. And I'm not sure that is a major thing that that is big down in the South. I mean, I'm a Newsweek contributor, and I haven't read this yet. But, I mean, is that a really big thing, why a lot of people or maybe a lot of Southern blacks, you know, aren't completely, you know, behind Obama because they like him, but they don't want him to lose his or his family to lose him or anything like that?
I think actually, in fact, that is something you hear quite a bit. I'm not sure that's going to ultimately affect the way people vote. I think that black Southerners are going to vote massively for Obama. But they are inoculating themselves with these terribly pessimistic predictions and concerns against the possibility that he'll lose or that he might not serve out his first term. And you often hear that there are groups of people, some people who are saying that they won't vote, black people in the South, that they won't vote for Obama because they don't want him to be killed. But I don't think ultimately that's going to have much numerical weight, but I think it's reflective of a mood that says it's too early, this can't happen, something will go wrong because
now,
something has gone wrong so many times before.
About that, I mean, like, with a lot of, since there's a lot of, you know, universities, a lot of colleges down in southern parts, you know, from, you know, LSU, University of Georgia, and things of that liking, what about the youth folk kind of, you know, counteracting, I guess, the older, you know, more conservative older vote? I mean, can that be more of a help that makes Obama think that he can win these southern states like North Carolina and Georgia?
Well, those college towns traditionally are little blue dots on big red maps of the South. And they, I think those towns will certainly go for Obama. And a lot of people are out. Young people are out, white and black, are out registering voters for Obama. That's absolutely true. But the big problem with the youth vote is that the young don't vote at the end of the day. They get enthusiastic. They join Facebook groups.
Certainly turned out in the primaries.
Yeah, well, they did turn out in the primaries, but they didn't. I remember in 2004 talking to a lot of young people who said, oh, yes, we've got to get rid of Bush. We're going to vote for Kerry. And ultimately, they couldn't get they couldn't make much of a move on the numbers for they couldn't significantly change the numbers for Kerry. If they do turn out for Obama, that will be obviously a big plus for him. But even then, I'm not sure it'll be enough to carry the South.
Lamar, thanks very much for the call. And you were saying something else about blacks who you spoke with in the South inoculating themselves, well, not just against the possibility that Senator Obama might be shot at, but that he might prove to be a disappointment.
Well, that's right. I think it was very interesting. We were talking, for instance, to a barber named Seaborn Johnson, beautiful name, who has a little barbershop on Auburn Avenue, which used to be the heart of the black community in Atlanta and now is really, really run down. But he's been around. He's seen a lot of things. He's in his 60s. And he was wearing an Obama button. And he said, you know, I sure hope he wins. I hope he's going to win. And I said, well, what is he going to change? And he says he can't change much, at least not for the first term. If he can get through that first term and get into the second term, then maybe we'll see some real changes. But he's got a lot of things to fix in that first term if he gets in. And I think that was a view that was reflected by a lot of people. They wonder if he can get elected. Then if he gets elected, they wonder if he can finish his term. And then they wonder if he'll be able to do the kinds of things he's promising or begin to meet the expectations that will arrive in office with him.
Let's get another caller on the line. And this is Paul, and Paul's with us from Baton Rouge in Louisiana. Very well, Paul.
Right. I'm calling about this very interesting conversation you're having. People here in Louisiana, I'm finding, are at least older white people that I talk to are scared of Obama, as a lot of other Southerners, I think. The interesting thing, though, is that a lot of these people are Democrats, and a lot of them, you know, probably voted for Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton carried Louisiana twice. It's just, I'll be shocked if Obama gets Louisiana. I don't know. It's and people, they're sort of like in a state of denial about it. It's kind of like they talk about taxes when they're really, if, you know, you maybe put a few drinks in them, they talk about secret Muslim terrorist conspiracies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of people will be amazed if Senator Obama carries Louisiana. Chris Dickey, tell us about your cousin who you talked to, one of the people you talked to.
Yeah, I was talking to a cousin of mine in North Carolina, out in the mountains of North Carolina. Very, very nice man. I was having dinner at his house. He's in his early 50s. And he voted for Clinton. He voted for Gore. He voted for Bush in 2004. But I think he's a very independent-minded man with a good, strong Democratic Party background. And he was saying he just could not vote for Obama. And I said, how come? And he says, because I think he's a Muslim. I said, come on, you know he's a Christian. He's raised as a Christian. He says he's a Christian. My cousin said, well, I just don't believe him. And I think that that's something you run into a lot. I think there's several different things playing together. To some extent, this is all just code for he's black. Mm-hmm. But that's too simple an answer, really. There's sort of three basic things that I think are really alienate a lot of white Southerners when they look at Obama.
And we're going to have to wait to hear about those three things till we
and
come back.
And you're going to have to
break.
Wait for those, yes.
Okay. It's Christopher Dickey. By the way, Paul, thanks very much for the call. Christopher Dickey of Newsweek magazine is with us. He's in Philadelphia in the studios of member station WHYY. We're talking about the South, how it's changed, and how this election is bringing up old wounds or maybe healing some. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, 800-989-8255 or email us talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conant. Stay with us. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conant in Washington. We've heard that this year's presidential election is stirring up old wounds in parts of the southern United States, but the American South has changed a great deal over the past few years. Based on numbers from the U.S. Census, the Hispanic population there nearly tripled between 2000 and 2006. More than half of those people are foreign-born. As Christopher Dickey reported in Newsweek magazine, the South to them is the future, not the past. And that brings its own set of challenges and questions for this election. We've posted a link to Chris Dickey's article called Southern Discomfort on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. If you live in the South or if you used to, tell us whether you think this election is opening old wounds or healing them. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org, and you can share your story on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And Christopher Dickey, just before we went away for the break, there were three things you wanted to talk about.
Well, yeah, I think there are three things that conservative Southerners, white Southerners, are very uneasy about with Obama. But let me also say that I don't think this is limited to the South. One of the reasons we went around in the South is because the South has been dealing with racial issues for so long, so intensely, and at such and often so painfully, that this is something that people will talk about in the South in ways that a lot of times they won't talk about it, even if the same issues exist elsewhere in the country. The three things that I think bother conservative Southerners are, first, yes, absolutely the color of his skin. People don't say that, but as one of the callers says, you give him a few drinks and you start to hear all kinds of code words that really are about the color of his skin. But another is the foreignness of his name. I mean, people are just having a little trouble with Barack Hussein Obama as a name. Maybe people have gotten, a lot of people elsewhere in the country have gotten used to exotic sounding names, but in the South, that still sounds very strange.
Even when they have Bobby Jindal as the governor of Louisiana?
Well, his name's Bobby Jindal, right? It's not really. It's Piyush Jindal, but everybody calls him Bobby. Barack Obama used to be Barry Obama. If he'd kept that name, probably people would find that easier to stomach. But at the end of the day, I think that name is a problem for him. And then what may be the most serious problem for him is is that he is really very liberal, and he has the flaw that a lot of Northern liberals have, liberal Democrats have, when they talk to Southerners, which is that they tend to talk down to them. They tend to talk to them as if they know much better what the priorities of people in the South or people in the United States should be than those people know themselves. There was a classic example last month when Obama was in Powder Springs, Georgia, and somebody stood up. It was a hand-selected audience, and somebody stood up and said, you know, I'm really tired of having to deal with people who don't speak any English. There's all these people who just speak Spanish in Georgia now, and shouldn't they have to learn English? And Obama says, well, you know, they'll learn English eventually, but you ought to be asking why your kids aren't learning Spanish. And he was trying to make a point about the educational system. But really, that sort of thing doesn't sit well with Southerners. And I don't think it sits, frankly, well with a lot of conservative Americans.
Well, let's get Walter on the line. Walter's with us from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Neil, good afternoon. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
Yeah, I'm down here in Charlotte. And most African Americans know how most Caucasian people are going to think down here in the South. And like the gentleman said, they're going to use solar words to say, you know, that he's a Muslim and so forth like that. But most African Americans know that most Caucasian people don't vote because of his race. They weren't going to say it, but I think deep down inside, that's just how it is sort of down here. But the young vote is going to turn out, and African American is going to turn out, and he's going to have a very great chance of pulling it off. And there's some independents out down here in Charlotte, too, also. I'm a truck driver. And I can see it go through different communities, and you can tell they got signs in there. So he's got a great chance down here. Definitely here in North Carolina. I think he would definitely pull it out.
Again, I think that would be a big surprise, Christopher Dickey.
I think it would be a surprise. I wouldn't put it totally beyond the realm of possibility. I mean, the analyst that I talked to said, yes, maybe it could happen. Two things basically have to happen. All those groups that the caller just mentioned, they do have to turn out in force and in at levels that we've really never seen before.
Neil,
and at the same time, a lot of McCain voters, a lot of Republican voters have to decide they're just not going to vote. Mm-hmm. They're just going to stay home. If that happens, then I think Obama can take those states. And it is conceivable that will happen. But at this point, the best guess is that North Carolina and Georgia will still go to the
Go ahead, Walter.
Yes. I'm going to tell you the reason why he has a great chance, because when the primaries came out, most African-Americans had never voted in the primaries. Believe me, because I never did primaries. But when Obama came, it was a great turnout. He won the primary in North Carolina. So that shows you how much the African-American turned out. And just as much they turned out in the primary, believe me, for him to be an African-American here, we feel so excited. Especially here in North Carolina, and I put a bumper sticker on my car, and I never did that for any president. I put a bumper sticker on my car. He's going to have a very great chance to turn and win in North Carolina.
You may be right, Walter. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Have a nice day.
You too. And let's go now to Dominic, and Dominic is with us from Charleston in South Carolina.
Yes, sir. I've been born and raised in the South, and I'm seeing two things coming up. One, amongst my friends, I'm seeing kind of that code. And that's being much more picky about policy issues than in the past, where in the past they've happy to overlook discrepancies with someone like Clinton or Gore or Kerry. No candidate's going to agree with you 100%. Now these little items are coming up that people are picking at, and to me I see that as being sort of code for their racism. On the other hand, I see folks who my gut would say they would normally support McCain saying anyway they're going to vote for Obama. I'm curious to say if they do, because I think among the college-age crowd in the South, there is, at least for now, some energy and excitement, so it's kind of cool, kind of gives you some street cred to say you're going to vote for Obama. And also, it's a way of saying, hey, I'm not racist. I'm voting for Obama. Now, what happens when they get in the booth is another story.
Yeah, and that's a question. In fact, we're going to be talking about it tomorrow at the museum, that pollsters are having difficulty trying to figure out are people telling us how they actually feel? Because this is Christopher Dickey, you say one of the reasons you went to the South is because people there will tell you with greater clarity what they do feel.
Sure. I mean, you played that soundbite from Clarence Teddy Williams, a pastor in Savannah, where he says he just thinks when they go in, he's the head of a Black Baptist church, very influential Black Baptist church in Savannah, and he says he thinks that people are going to go into the voting booth and they're going to vote down racial lines. Now, he may be too pessimistic on that, but I do think there is a component of young voters who are very enthusiastic about Obama. And as the caller said, as Dominic said, you know, there is a street cred issue, but there are also real issues. For instance, we were talking to a woman, 21 years old, waiting tables in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and her boyfriend, who's 26, is dying of cancer. And for her, the big issue is health care. And I have rarely talked to anybody better informed or more passionate about politics than she was. Because of that issue, and also because she has a lot of friends, male and female, as she said, who are serving in Iraq and don't know why they're there.
Dominic?
I'm wrong.
What?
I said, I hope I'm wrong. I hope he's right.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
As you look at politics through the South, again, we've been talking about this election, obviously, seemingly endlessly, and it's going to several months more left. But a lot of people said, you know, we mentioned earlier that Virginia is in play, and a lot of people say that's because Virginia isn't so much a Southern state anymore, at least not the northern part of Virginia.
Yeah, Northern Virginia's full of Yankees, is what they say, and that's true. In fact, it really was interesting in cities like Charlotte and Atlanta, and sometimes even in more rural areas, when we would talk to people who were white people supporting Obama, very, very often they tended to be people who were originally from the North, even if they had been living in Charlotte or Atlanta for 20, 30, 40 years. There was just a different viewpoint. The core of the Republican Party in the South is native Southern-born whites who are the first, basically have made up the first and second generation middle class that's ever existed in the South. And their roots are still in the South and in Southern history and basically in the rural South, even though they grew up in the suburbs. And they are very, very conservative, and I don't think they're going to change.
And you write that they don't think Barack Obama will only raise taxes on the top 1% of the country.
No. Everybody disbelieves politicians on all sides, I would say. But I think the point that Dominic made was a very good one. People are a lot more picky on policy issues when they look at Obama than they might have been when they were talking about Kerry or Clinton.
Let's get Frank on the line. Frank with us from Central Florida. Is that the central part of the state, or is there a town called Central Florida?
No. I actually am in Bartow, Florida.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm originally from Atlanta. I grew up in the 60s, the time which your man on the line here says that, racism was rampant. My family, I'm white. My family taught me that there's no difference between a black and a white, except in that it's what's in your heart. And what is in the heart of Obama is that he's a good man, he has good politics, and I am the man that you have on I'm sorry, I'm nervous.
That's okay.
I've always been a Republican. I've never voted for a Democrat in my life, except when I lived in Georgia, and it was a one-party state. And yet, I want to vote for Obama because now is the time, because we have a man that is good. Yes, he's black. I don't care. So I told the lady on the line that checked me out, mm-hmm. I don't care if it's a person that is green with pink polka dots. If they're a good person and they are able to run this country, let's vote for them. And Obama is that person right now. And I think there are people in this country who do not fit in the widget that this man is trying to put us in. I'm Southern. I went to the Cyclorama in Atlanta. I lived in Morningside. There were no blacks there. But it doesn't matter. It's what's in the heart that counts. Well, and there is, perhaps, an opening of wounds for those people that cannot see past color. I personally can. I see the person's heart, and this is a good man, and now is the time.
Well, you may not have been listening. Christopher Dickey obviously has strong Southern roots as well. He grew up in Atlanta and went to school there as well. His father, the novelist and poet James Dickey, probably best known for Deliverance, so obviously knows a bit about what he's writing about. But Christopher Dickey, your comments.
Certainly does.
I think the caller is exactly right that we all ought to be able to see past color. And I was amazed and appalled even as a little boy at the kinds of things that were being said in Atlanta. We're talking about late 50s, early 60s. The kinds of things that little boys tell each other about those niggers who were going to be getting into our schools and what was going to happen, and even the question of whether a Catholic was going to be elected president in those days. There was just a lot of prejudice floating around, and little kids absorb it. And it was there to be seen on the streets all the time. In the end, notwithstanding scenes of dogs attacking people in Birmingham and horrible things that happened in Mississippi and in many other places in the South, ultimately, most of the South integrated very, very peacefully, and which is one of the reasons it's an interesting society to look at now, because although these lingering feelings exist, and there's certainly prejudice, people are trying to address it in the South, in exactly the way the caller was talking about. They're trying to see past color. The question is whether, when they get in a voting booth, they really do.
Frank, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're talking with Chris Dickey of Newsweek magazine about his cover story in this week's issue called Southern Discomfort. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Craig is with us. Craig on the line from Florence in South Carolina.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
First, to let you have an idea of who I am, I'm 30 years old, not alive in the 50s or the 60s. I'm a physician. I'm white. I've lived in upstate New York. I've lived in Augusta, Georgia, now Florence, South Carolina. There's two problems that maybe it's just me having a problem with today. Is one is the argument sounds to me that if you are white and from the South and you are not voting for Obama, then it is for racial reasons. And it seems to be ignoring the political party or maybe just the political idealism. And then the other thing is, it seems to me that we're really focusing on the South and the racism, when in my experience and the experience of others who I've spoken with, especially patients, that they've experienced more diversity, racial diversity, in the South than ever in the North, where, especially around New York, there are different boroughs and sections where people of one race or one ethnicity will stay and never reach out of.
Well, you're certainly true about the descriptions of the New York area. What do you think, Chris?
Well, I mean, I think we've made the point several times, as a matter of fact, that the South is more out front in many ways in talking about race and talking about these issues. There is a lot of diversity in the South. That's where one of the first points we made is that you not only have now whites and blacks, you not only have rich and poor, you have big middle class, you have a big black middle class, but you also have a large Latino class and a growing Asian class in the South. So you have a lot of diversity there, and that's a lot of, and that is very much what is changing the character of the South now. Are these issues that we're discussing about the South, are they limited only to the South? No, absolutely not. I think that the issue of the issue of his skin color, the issue of his name, and the issue of his liberal views, and the way he addresses them, are things that cause reaction all over the country, not only in the South. But the South was the particular petri dish, if you will, that we chose to explore.
And there are certainly a lot of reasons why somebody could vote for John McCain and not be a racist.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't, you know, that's not the issue, is whether you're a racist if you vote for John McCain or if you vote against Obama. But I think we are trying to parse this issue in a way that's more intelligent than just saying so-and-so is playing the race card or not playing the race card. Race is an issue here. Race does affect people's views, and it's silly to say that it doesn't. Turning the issue on its head, it certainly affects black people's views. African Americans are voting massively for Obama when they get a chance to do so. And if you look at the polls, although they've been up and down in many ways, there was a poll just as we were starting out our travel through the South that was a nationwide poll that showed that support for Obama was 82%. or more among black voters, and only 30-some percent, 32-33% among white voters. Now, it's certainly not just limited to the South, but in the South we thought people would talk frankly about it.
Craig,
and
thanks.
They did.
Craig, thanks for the call, Craig. Appreciate it. And Christopher Dickey, we appreciate your time today, too.
My pleasure.
Christopher Dickey, Paris Bureau Chief, Middle East Regional Editor for Newsweek Magazine. His article, Southern Discomfort, on the cover of this week's issue. You can find a link to it on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Up next, calling all campers, did your experience at sleepaway camp predict your future character? Stay with us. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.